Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
We've got Cliff Ellis with us here at Cumberland University. They are honoring him. They're naming the court after him in his honor today at 1 o'clock. And I have to start with my very own Cliff Ellis story, Coach. And you have no idea this is coming, but in 1997, I was a freshman, about to be a sophomore in high school. I was one of two kids from the state of Tennessee that went to Auburn basketball camp. My uncle, Rudolph Schmitto, was the head of the biology department at Auburn. So he brought me and my buddy Jake Mingledorf down to Auburn for a basketball camp. I actually won the three-point shootout. My buddy Jake won the free throw contest. We're the only two kids from the state of Tennessee that were there. I was wearing my Mount Juliet basketball shirt, and when I was posing for a picture with you, you looked at both of us and said, "Mount Juliet, huh?" Said, "I'm well aware of that. I coached in Lebanon for years ago at Cumberland University." And I just remember that jumped out to me so much. I'm like, here's this SEC coach who actually knows where Mount Juliet, Tennessee is, and spotted that on my shirt. So I had to bring up that story to start.
Well, that brings back memories because Mount Juliet, my wife, my first year of coaching at Cumberland, taught at Mount Juliet High School.
Wow.
So she made the drive down 70, I believe it is, 70, and made the run. So great memories. I hope you had a great experience.
It was awesome. No, we had a great time. And
obviously,
and
you ran a mark on it.
Yeah, you ran a really good camp. But speaking of runs.
He's still trying to gun those threes, Coach.
Yeah.
Not a part of this story, you did not try to recruit Chad.
No. It was funny because there was we got split up into different teams, and there was a kid on my team from Selma, Alabama, who clearly was being recruited by Auburn at the time because the coaches would show up around our game, and I would look at my buddy Jake, I'm like, they're not here to watch us. Because I remember just throwing lobs to this kid, and he was a freshman or sophomore in high school, and he was dunking it.
It might have been Doc Robinson.
Could have been at the time. You know, we talk about runs here. It's amazing the run that you've been on as a coach and all the different places you've been to. What is it like coming back here and sort of seeing where things started as you just walk around this campus now?
Well, it brings back a lot of great memories because I was a graduate student at Middle Tennessee State University and had gotten my degree or was finishing my degree, and Jimmy Earle was the head basketball coach at Middle Tennessee State University, and I was sitting in his office telling him, please come down to Ocala. There's some good players there. At the time, there was Eddie Johnson. I had two or three players I had, and these guys went on to play NBA, and I told them there were some players come by and look at them, and the phone rang, and it was Dr. Ernest Stockton, who was the president of Cumberland, and he says, Coach, it's August. I've lost my basketball coach. I need somebody quick. He says, I've got him sitting in my office right now, and so Dr. Stockton said, send him over. So I drove over from Murfreesboro to Cumberland. I was 26 years old, and he looked at me and he says, you're extremely young, I don't know. And I said, well, if you'll give me a chance, I won't let you down. But it was through Jimmy Earle that I got the opportunity to be the coach here. And when I came here, I was young, I was scared. I was really scared. I was scared to fail. But I told our guys, I said, we will be in the top 10 in the next 5 years. And we had a run here that was unbelievable. Still won. We had a team in 73-74 that averaged 105 points a game, and there was no three-point shot.
Wow.
There was no three-point shot. So it opened the door for me to go to the University of South Alabama, and I was 29 years of age, and I cried like a baby when I left here. I was the athletic director. I was the basketball coach. We had it going. But it was an opportunity to be the youngest head coach, Division I. And there was one other guy that was 29 years of age. His name was Mike Krzyzewski, and he was the coach at Army. So it opened the door for a lot of things. But the memories that I have here My wife and I had been married 3 years. Our first daughter was born in Nashville. We stayed in Justin Potter Hall. We had great, just great runs with basketball games. And the people, we played across the way, and the place was sold out. It was sold out every single time that we played. People got behind it and around it, and it really gave me the opportunity to do what I've been able to do today. Were it not for Cumberland, there would be no Auburn. There would be no Clemson. There would be no South Alabama. There'd be no Coastal Carolina.
Coach Cliff Ellis with us on the Midday 180. Will you tell the story of how you nearly landed Larry Bird to Cumberland University?
Well, it's a great story. I'm sitting at Justin Potter Hall. We can see it across the lawn. We're sitting across the hall. And I had a kid by the name of Danny King that was on the team. And he had transferred from Hanover College. And he comes running over to where I lived and knocked on the door. He says, Coach, my best friend has just left Indiana, and I think we can get him. And I said, well, go home this weekend and just see what you can do. And, of course, Larry Bird had not made a name at this particular time. So he goes back to French Lick, Indiana, and he calls me on Sunday. He said, Coach, he's ready to go. I said, great, man, this is fantastic. He's ready to go. He said, there's one catch. I said, what's that? He said, he enrolled in Northwood Institute last Friday, but they don't play basketball. I said, that shouldn't be a problem. So I called the regional director of the NJCAA, and I'm fired up Monday morning. I can't wait to talk to him. And I told him the situation. And I said, now, he enrolled at Northwood Institute, but he didn't play basketball. Shouldn't be a problem. He said, it's a big problem. He said, he'll have to sit. You know, I said, you'll have to sit. And I said, they didn't play. It doesn't make sense to me. He said, no, you can't bring him in without sitting. So I called Danny back. I said, Danny, we can't take him without sitting. So Larry Bird set out. Danny King finished. Danny King signed with Indiana State. Guess where Larry Bird went? Indiana State, the rest of history. And I always wondered how my life could have changed and how Cumberland could have changed if Larry Bird had come to Cumberland University. But I guess we missed it by one day, by the fact that he enrolled in Northwood Institute.
What was he doing enrolling in Northwood Institute with no basketball?
I'm sure his family said, you're getting an education. I don't know. I don't know. And I've been able to tell Larry Bird that story, and it's a great story, but we were that close to getting Larry Bird.
Man.
Coach, you were one of only four coaches in NCAA history to lead four different programs to multiple NCAA tournament appearances. Is there something about a new challenge that you enjoy when you get to a different program and try to get them to the tournament?
That has been my niche. And you know, I started as a junior high school coach. Then I was a JV coach. And then I was head coach at high school. I always had to find that way to succeed. I always had to be the underdog. And when I got to Cumberland, it had a tough couple of years. I think they'd won 8 games the year before. Facility was a tough place to play. But I always felt that you could find guys that believed in what you're doing and you could make it happen. So I wanted to build it, and we built it here. And we went to South Alabama. Following up on your question, the president told me when he hired me, he says, we're going to give you 3 years to turn this around. We don't think we should be Division I. We think we should be Division II. Division I's not working out. We don't draw crowds. We play 13 miles away. You got 3 years.
This is in Mobile.
This is in Mobile, Alabama. And that was in 1975. In 1970. 879, we're in the NCAA tournament playing Louisville. And if you go back to those days, Daryl Griffith, guys like that who I remember, we were down by 1 with less than a minute to play, as I recall, and had a backdoor pass that we threw for a layup because Denny Crum extended his defense. We backdoored it, and the guy missed the layup. And would have put us ahead. Darryl Griffith. We fouled him now because the clock's going to run out. We fouled Darryl Griffith. He goes to the line and banks his free throw in. He was that shook. He made it, but he banked it in. Then they hit two. We go down. We lose it. You know, Louisville goes on and wins the national championship. You go back and think about what would happen if South Alabama, it was on CBS. So we pulled it from there, won three Sun Belt championships. And then going back to the building process, Clemson called in 1984, and I turned the job down. I said, no, I'm not going to take this job. And we had a great team. Terry Catledge was on that team. We had a commitment from Vernon Maxwell. Now, you'll remember Vernon Maxwell. He was a great player.
Mad Max.
I go to Gainesville, Florida to sign the papers. There's no fall recruiting period. It's the spring. I go to Gainesville to get him to sign. He's committed. I walk in his home, and he's sitting with his mother, and they're holding hands. And I walk in, and I said, oh, my goodness, something's not right. She looked at me. She said, sit down here, coach. And she put her hand there, and she put her hand on mine. She said, you have done the greatest job of recruiting my son, but he's always wanted to go to the University of Florida. My heart dropped. And I'd had that situation happen so many times at South Alabama that I left there heartbroken and go to the Gainesville Airport. At that time, there were payphones. It was a dime or a quarter. I put it in, and I called Clemson, and I said, I'm in Gainesville, Florida. If you're interested, I'm coming to Atlanta. I'll meet you in Atlanta, and we'll talk about this situation. So I flew to Atlanta. They took me to Clemson. I leave Mobile to go to sign Vernon Maxwell. I go to Clemson. They offer me the job, and they give me an offer I can't refuse. And I go home, and I'm going to accept the Clemson job. I leave to go get Vernon Maxwell, and I come back telling Clemson I'm coming to Clemson. And everybody told me, said, you can't go to Clemson. You know, don't go to Clemson. You can't win there in basketball. You got Dean Smith. You got Lefty Driesell. You've got Duke. You've got Terry Holland. You got all those guys. It just made me want to do it. And then in 1990, and there's a kid, he's not a kid anymore. I think he'll be here today. Wayne Buckingham, who's from the Shelbyville, Tennessee area, that played on that 1990 ACC championship team. So we won the ACC when they said it couldn't be done. And then we went to Auburn, and Joel Eaves had won one, and they said it couldn't be done. Coastal Carolina, yeah, they'd done it, but it'd been 20 years. So I love the challenge. I love the challenge of building something. I'm not the type that goes to Kansas or goes to Kentucky or goes to Duke or North Carolina. And I'm very proud of those 800-something wins because I say you put some of those coaches in the places that I have been, I want to see your numbers. But it's not about the numbers. It's about the relationships and the people that you've met along the way. So I know that was a long answer to your question.
That's a good answer.
You know. But, you know, everything from the Larry Bird to the Vernon Maxwells to the all those stories, you just never know what twists and turns life takes you that makes opportunities happen.
Coach Cliff Ellis has been our guest. Congratulations on the court dedication today. And well-earned and well-deserved.
Well, thank you.
Great to have you on.
Thank you so much.